call upon Brother Arthur to provide us with the necessary word of exhortation, please.
As it's been rather busy this last week or so, brothers and sisters, rather than take the exhortation from the daily readings, I've decided to look at an exhortation that we looked at some years back, the wife for Isaac, a wife for Isaac, wherein I think we will find much exhortation for each of us as we meet together this morning. Abraham lived among the Canaanites, who were idolaters, whose daughters would be unfit for a wife for Isaac his son. Calling his trusty servant to him, which is believed was Eliezer of Damascus, he instructs him to go to seek a wife for Isaac from among his own people at Mesopotamia, but with the proviso that should his journey prove to be unsuccessful, at no cost whatever should he take for Isaac a wife from among the Canaanites. The servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into the land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Yahweh Elohim of heaven took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake to me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again." The account of Eliezer's successful journey in bringing a bride to Isaac, brothers and sisters, as recorded in the scriptures, has thrilled many over the years. It's just like a fairy story, as we might say, with a happy ending. But there is much more to this account than just the servant going to fetch a bride for his master's son. As thrilling as what it is, for Isaac figuratively is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Rebecca, his future wife, a type of the ecclesia espoused to her husband, and Eliezer, who went to fetch Rebecca, a type of the apostles, who was told by our Lord to go into all the world to preach the gospel, that a bride might be ready for the Lord Jesus at his return. A wife for Isaac must be of those who are prepared to conform to the principles of Abraham's house, prepared to leave her father's house and her kindred, as indeed the narrative shows Rebecca did. We remember when Rebecca was called after receiving the invitation from Eliezer, unhesitatingly she replied, "I will go." A wife for Isaac must be of those who are prepared not just to leave her father's house, but be prepared to conform, as we have said, to the principles of Abraham's house. Many have said, in regard to the Lord Jesus, "I will go," but have not accepted the principles of Abraham's house to walk in faith in the promises given. The Apostle Peter speaks of Gentile believers who have followed the examples of Sarah. Turn with me to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 6. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 6. We read from verse 5. And after this manner in all time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have to conform to the house of Abraham. Brother Mansfield, in his verse-by-verse account on this chapter, speaks of Eliezer, whose name signifies, "Ale is my help," as representing the apostles who have been the main instrumentality in obtaining a bride for Christ, the seed of promise from among the Gentiles. For as Eliezer had access to Abraham's means and was trusted to use them faithfully, so too the apostles were given the means of the Spirit in their work of preaching the truth, which has enabled the Ecclesia to gain access to the divine wealth in Christ. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 tells us that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And to me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Eliezer, brethren and sisters, was directed to a people more amenable to Abraham's way of life and thought. And so too in the preaching of the gospel, we look for those, do we not, who are prepared to leave their way of life, their kindred, and who are prepared to conform to the principles of Abraham's house. The Lord Jesus said, did he not, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Be ye holy, he says, as I am holy. Be ye separate from those things of the world around us. Be ye separate. So Eliezer went on his journey to find a bride for his master's son, and he did not even know where in Nahor Rebekah's house was. He didn't know where Rebekah's home was, but he went in the faith of Abraham's God and prayed that his journey would be successful. Eliezer, as we see in the narrative, brethren and sisters, which speaks of the apostles, is a man given to prayer as they were. They were always in prayer to their Heavenly Father in the preaching of truth. And that's a lesson for us, is it not? But before we go on a journey, before we proclaim to preach the truth, we need our Father to go with us. And so we pray unto our Heavenly Father as Eliezer did on his way to Nahor. The Apostle James tells us the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How true are those words, brothers and sisters? Thomson, who wrote The Land and the Book, he says in 1880, considering Eliezer taking 10 camels and the other things that he took with him. Thompson said in 80, when he lived in the land, that just as Eliezer took 10 camels loaded with provision and presents on his journey, he said such an expedition would not, in the 1880s, have been taken on from Ebron with any other animals, nor with less in number, for the journey was long and dangerous. The journey was long and dangerous. And hasn't the preaching of the truth been such over the years, brothers and sisters? Faithful men have only embarked upon it after putting on the armour provided by God. It is a lesson for us again, is it not, brothers and sisters, in our preaching of the truth. Only fools go to war without the necessary armour. As the Apostle Paul brings out so well in his letter to the Ephesians, we won't turn to it. Only fools go to war without armour, and we would be fools if we embarked on the word of preaching the truth, if we did not wear the full armour that God has provided for the work. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ecclesia of Thessalonica, said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word also only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, in much affliction, brothers and sisters, with joy of the Holy Spirit." And we know, brothers and sisters, the travelling that the Apostle Paul went through in the preaching of the gospel and of the other disciples, how the Lord's brother lost his life, brothers and sisters, in the preaching of the truth. It has been an hazardous affair, has it not, in preaching the truth, how necessary the need for the armour God has provided. In considering this man Eliezer, what faith and obedience, brothers and sisters, he displayed. What faith and obedience he displayed in the God of Abraham. Arriving at the city of Nain, we read that he prayed unto Yahweh. Shall we read the prayer that he gave in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 12? Genesis chapter 24 and verse 12. And he said, "O Yahweh, Elohim of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand you by the wells of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also,' let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." Eliezer, brethren and sisters, if we take the incident literal, was looking for a bride for his master's son, and looks for one who is bright active, prepared to help another, but most of all, one whom God approves of. Before he had done speaking or praying, behold, Rebecca came to the well with a pitcher on her shoulder. And we read she was fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And the Apostle Paul tells us regarding the prospective bride of Christ. You and I, brothers and sisters, the prospective bride of Christ. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Those faithful ones, brothers and sisters, that have not committed spiritual fornication, but walked in the purity of the truth. Those that walk in purity of truth. Rebecca, with her pitcher on her shoulder, went to the well. And Eliezer asked, as he said he would, for water to drink. He was now about to put to the test of whether she was indeed the future bride of his master's son. She answered, "Drink, my lord, and I will draw water for thy camels also." One traveller to these parts, brothers and sisters, many years ago said he had many times been offered water to drink by the maidens at the wells. This was not unusual, he said. They would offer you a drink of water. It's a very hot climate, and they were there with water in their pitchers. But he had found it most difficult, he said, to have his horse watered on times, even for money, let alone 10 thirsty camels, which I'm told drink over a gallon each. They drink quite a lot of water. It is noted too that when Eliezer does not command the servants who came with him to help her, he let Rebecca do that of which she said she would do. She gave him drink and drink to 10 thirsty camels. Not a mean task. He had asked Yahweh, brothers and sisters, that the woman might do this. And so he allows her to complete the task, to see indeed if she was one true to her word. One putting his hand to the plough, brothers and sisters, and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. There must be true commitment and continued service in the work. You, brothers and sisters, Eliezer saw an indication of the character of Rebecca. She was bright, yes. She was active, yes. She was prepared to help others, yes. And now, brothers and sisters, above all, she was, according to the test of Eliezer, in his prayer, she was one approved of Yahweh. The one before him was the bride for his master's son Isaac. An indication of the true bride of Christ, is it not, brothers and sisters? Jesus said, if we are called to go a mile, go twain. Go beyond the call of duty. And that's what Rebecca did. She went beyond the call of duty. She could have said to Eliezer, here's a drink of water for you. Here's the well, here's your camels. But she didn't. She did the work. She fed. She watered the camels. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, 1st Epistle of Peter, chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1. And the elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. Go beyond the call of duty. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take in the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because we have to do it, not because we have got to do it, not by taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, as did Rebecca at the well. Willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. A ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. A crown of glory that fadeth not away. We consider the virtuous woman, do we not, and sisters of Ecclesiastes. Eliezer in his mission had taken nothing for granted, brothers and sisters. He took nothing for granted, but had taken everything to God in prayer that it might be successful. Turn to verse 14 of chapter 24. Verse 14 of chapter 24 of Genesis. And it shall come to pass that to whom the damsel I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. He took nothing for granted, brethren and sisters. It's a lesson for us, is it not? The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 says, and verse 6, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We should always resort to prayer, says the Apostle, and not to faint. After the camels had done drinking, we read, Eliezer took a golden earring and two bracelets and asked, whose daughter art thou? To which he replied, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, once again proving her workmanship, if we might say, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped Yahweh and said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, who hath not left me destitute, my master, of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, Yahweh led me to the house of my master's brethren. Yes, all had worked well for Eliezer, brethren and sisters. The reason being because he had obeyed the commands given unto him. He had done that of which he was commanded to do, and he did it, brothers and sisters, correctly. He did not deviate in any way. He did that which was commanded him. And should not we, brothers and sisters, be obedient to the word, that we might be successful in the work of our master? We read it so often, do we not, brothers and sisters, of the return of the master, when he says to the faithful, well done, thou faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done. It is only when we have well done, brothers and sisters, and have done according to his will we be rewarded. Rebecca hastens home with Eliezer. Rebecca hastens home with Eliezer following to tell them at her home of her meeting with Abraham's servant. She had been given all the truth concerning the position of Abraham and Isaac, and it was now up to her whether she would go with him or not to be Eliezer's master son's wife. We have no time, brothers and sisters, to go into all the details of the account. But after Eliezer had explained the need of his journey and how Yahweh had blessed his servant Abraham and had made a covenant with him concerning great and precious promises, and that Sarah had borne a son in her old age, they acknowledged that the whole matter proceeded from God. And so they gave their consent to the proposal that Rebekah go with him to be a bride for Isaac. It is most interesting, brothers and sisters, to note Eliezer had made known to them the promises of God made with Abraham. And so they speak of the day when the future seed of Rebekah would rule over their enemies. Turn to verse 60 of that chapter 24. Verse 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Yes, wilt thou go with this man, they asked her. Wilt thou go with this man? To which she replies confidently, I will go. Literally, brothers and sisters, she had worked out, to move the modern parlance, all the pros and cons, had seen the evidence of the position of Eliezer's master's son, had seen the servants, had seen the camels that he had seen the expensive gifts that he gave, and she was prepared to go. She was confident to go with him. It was not a blind faith that she had, brothers and sisters. Neither is it a blind faith that you and I have. We have evidence, have we not, through the word, that there is life and riches beyond compare, and peace and joy beyond compare for you and I, if we accept and go upon that journey to be the bride of Christ. Glory and riches, brothers and sisters, are promised us, as Rebekah could see the riches that Eliezer showed to her. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Eliezer, bringing out the jewels of gold and jewels of silver and raiment, which speaks of redemption, brothers and sisters, a tried faith, and that covering that comes with the baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have in Psalm 45, prophetically, that of which the bride will be noted for. Shall we turn to Psalm 45? Psalm 45. 45 and verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold, tried faith, and sisters. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companion that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Yes, brothers and sisters, that which is within. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Figuratively, brethren and sisters, Rebecca's action is of one who has accepted the truth, prepared to leave, as did Abraham and family, country and faith. The narrative continues with Eliezer, Rebecca and her damsels, and Abraham's servants leaving Nahor and making their way to the home of Isaac. And they come to Abraham's encampment, we read, in the eventide. Eventide, brethren and sisters, is figuratively the time of Christ's return to the earth and the marriage of the Lamb, the dawn of that new and wonderful day. As they draw near, Isaac comes from the way. He comes from the way of Lahairoi, which signifies the well of the living one who sees, or the well of life and vision. What an appropriate place, brothers and sisters, for them to meet Christ and his bride. Christ and his future bride, as he comes from the well of the living one who sees. Our Lord, brethren and sisters, when he returns, will come from his Father in heaven, he who sees all, to greet his new bride. Isaac, we are told in the narrative, had gone out to meditate, or as in the margin has it, to pray. He had gone out to pray. His bride, he knew, would be wending her way along that long and dangerous road, brothers and sisters, and he knew it. And he prays for their safe arrival. Christ, brothers and sisters, mediates on our behalf, does he not? That we might wend our way along that dangerous road and to the kingdom of God. Christ prays and meditates on our behalf. And he said, did he not, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always, we are always on his mind. As Isaac awaits his bride, brothers and sisters, so our bridegroom awaits the joy set before him. He is waiting for that day, brothers and sisters. He has suffered and died and waits for that day when his bride shall be given unto him. You and I, if we are faithful. Rebecca had not seen Isaac. Eliezer had told her all that he knew of Isaac, brothers and sisters. We have not seen our Lord Jesus Christ. But we read of him, brothers and sisters, do we not? And as Rebecca had the desire to meet her bridegroom, so we have the desire to meet our bridegroom, that we might be with him in that future age. On seeing Isaac, Rebecca lights off the camel, and taking her veil, that symbol of subjection, she puts it on, brothers and sisters, a symbol of subjection, and as a true bride stands before her bridegroom. Eliezer tells Isaac of all things that have been done. It is a reminder, brothers and sisters, is it not? For each one of us who must give an account to our Lord when he returns. Rebekah was one before Isaac. We as the bride are a multitude, but each of us individually, brothers and sisters, individually will have to stand before Christ to give an account of our stewardship. Isaac takes Rebekah, we are told, into his mother's tent, his mother Sarah's tent. Sarah represents, as we read in Galatians 4, the covenant of Abraham, the new Jerusalem above, the Jerusalem which is free, politically manifested in Israel as the kingdom of God. This came to an end, as we know, in AD 70, when the way was opened for the Gentiles, you and I, brothers and sisters, like Rebekah, to be incorporated within the multitudinous bride and to assume the position once enjoyed by Israel. She becomes his wife. Figuratively, that day of joy had come. And in the Apocalypse we read, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor unto him, we read, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Righteousness, brothers and sisters. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. The exhortation, brothers and sisters, in this account for each of us is, are we the character of Rebekah? Are we the character of Rebekah, which he showed at the well? Have we the faith of Rebekah? Are we bright as Rebekah? Active in the work of the truth as Rebekah was when she met Eliezer? Are we helping others in the truth? Do we do those things which are right and pleasing and go beyond the call of duty? Are we the virtuous woman of Psalm 45, all glorious within or without? For as the psalmist says, if this is so, if we are as that virtuous woman, it is with gladness and rejoicing, brothers and sisters, that you and I will be brought before the bridegroom, that we might enter into the king's palace, that we might live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. May we indeed, brothers and sisters, glean the exhortation from this wonderful account. It is like a fairy story. It is like a fairy story with a joyful ending. But there's much more to that, brothers and sisters. We have to do those things which Rebekah displayed and have that character to be found acceptable at the return of our bridegroom.